racing to the first tee, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first tee.
Wow. What a week here at the Open Championship. Once again, welcome to the Grow Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf. Well, we waited 3.5 days, and then it finally got exciting. The only thing would have made it better had my partner Jay Randolph Jr. been here with me. But Jay, we got a lot to talk about.
We sure do. A lot of ups and downs and different emotions from a fantastic British Open and a wild, wild final round. And I know for you being on site there, the emotions of the day, fantastic.
Yeah, you know, we waited 3.5 days, and finally it did get exciting. First day, windy and dry. Second day, kind of rainy. Third day, the greens were slow and perfect conditions. But this final day, it was perfect weather, Jay, with enough of a breeze combined with the hard ground to make it interesting. And ultimately, Carnoustie lived up to its name of Carnasty.
Well, and the other thing I think it's fair in saying, and I think off of what we saw at Shinnecock, it's nice to see an organization that just lets the golf course and the conditions dictate play. I think that the R&A did a very good job with the setup, and it produced a heck of a final day. You saw putts that just kept rolling. You saw approach shots from guys on par threes that would hit and bound, you know, 30, 40 feet. I mean, it was a fascinating day with a lot of guys in the mix, Bob, to win a major.
Yeah, and we were talking a little bit off the air. It was a lot of fun being on your wonderful golf show there in St. Louis. And the timing, it was like the most exciting moments here in Carnoustie were happening at the same time that I was on the air with you. I really didn't know what was going to happen at that moment. I mean, Tiger had made it to the top of the leaderboard. You were juiced. I was juiced. The crowds here, by the way, they did set an attendance record. 172,000 people came to Carnoustie to watch this 147th edition of the Open Championship. And as much as you like golf and the involvement with your dad, the history here is incredible. They have documents, Jay, where the first reference that is written down referring to the sport of golf took place in 1562. 1562. I mean, it seems incredible. This golf course was built in 1842. So this is no Johnny come lately.
Well, and you and I have tried to stress over the last couple of weeks leading up to the British Open about the accessibility and how families will go. And, you know, they'll get a picnic and they'll just sit by a fairway. And, you know, you saw on the 71st hole, as Xander Schauffele was trying to get up and down, a baby in a baby carriage that kept making noise. I mean, it's just a unique championship, and I can only imagine what it's going to be like in Northern Ireland.
Well, you don't need much of an imagination because I'm able to share with you now. I got this information from the R&A, and we've many times bragged about on the Grill Room about the fact that you could just walk up and gain admission. You didn't have to buy your ticket in advance. Well, the demand for tickets for next year is so high that they've already made the announcement that there will be no sales at the gate. You're going to have to buy your tickets in advance. So if you're planning on going to Ireland next year at Royal Port Rush for the 148th Open Championship, buy your ticket in advance because there's no other way you're going to be able to get on the grounds.
Very interesting. And one of those guys that people will be looking so forward to seeing next year, Rory McIlroy, look like he might get in the mix. As you said, when you and I talked in about the early 6th or 7th, 8th hole in the round. At that point, Tiger Woods had gotten it to 700 par and was leading a major championship. And we started to think of history and different things. And there were so many emotions. Spieth looking like he might have a shot today. Justin Rose with a brilliant finish, with a brilliant 36. But in the end, Bob, the guy who's been playing about as good as anybody, along with Justin Rose, Francesco Molinari, has gotten a major and gotten Italy a major.
Yeah, I mean, it's really incredible when you look at what he's done. I mean, he just recently won the BMW PGA Championship at Wentworth in England, then goes over to the United States to Quicken Loan, wins that PGA Tour event by 8 shots, the first Italian-born player to win on the PGA Tour since 1947 when Tony Pina got the job done. And now he wins a major championship and the first Italian-born player ever to win a major. You know, when Tiger got to the top of that leaderboard, we were, you know, and I'll openly admit, I got overly excited. I was already sure, almost giving him the title, and there was a lot of golf to play. But what I need you for now, because I have posed this question on this side of the pond, and everyone knows how much I respect your knowledge of the game. I made the statement that Tiger was closer to winning his next major or his 15th major, whichever way you want to put it, when he woke up this morning than he is now when he goes to bed tonight. Where do you weigh in on that statement?
Well, that's a very interesting look at it. I think this, you know, was this a lone shot today? Was this a lone opportunity like Jack had at Augusta and just seized it? Or is this progression? Is this getting back into the mix while making some mistakes down the stretch, still grinding it out to the 18th hole, almost making birdie there, playing with the champion, which I also want to give a lot of credit to Molinari for. He played with Tiger Woods today when he won his first major championship. But, Bob, we'll see. And I think, as I've said, talking to people early in the year, some of the guys that I trust out on the tour, they said the best chance Tiger would have to win a major championship is at Bellerive. I'm not sure about that, but that's what these guys said. So I don't know, Bob. It's a good question. Will this be kind of one we look back, oh, that was the one that would have gotten him one more, or will we say, boy, that might have been the start of the whole deal?
Well, there's some guys that we want to hear from. I think we ought to open it up, Jay, and hear from Rory McIlroy. Matter of fact, it was quite a fashion statement made by the Nike players. Molinari wears Nike. Tiger wears Nike. Rory McIlroy wears Nike. I mean, they're really dominating in the fashion world. They've gotten out of the manufacturing of equipment, but certainly their presence with the clothing is bigger than it's ever been. Let's give a listen right now to what Rory McIlroy had to say.
Yeah, I mean, not really frustrated. I played well. You know, I could have squeezed one more out of the round today. You know, it was, you know, when I made the eagle on 14, you know, it was tough to get close on 15, 16, and 17. The only real chance was at the last, and came out of the wedge shot a little bit, but still left myself a putt where, you know, it was holeable. But I think anything under par out there today was a good score. I'm happy with how I played.
I think Rory McIlroy is going to go away disappointed. Jay made a little bit of a run there at the end, but really wasn't firing on all cylinders all week long.
No, he was not. And you know, we continue to wonder who's going to be the best player of this era. And we had two of those guys in Spieth and McIlroy with opportunities today, and neither one of those got them done today. And, you know, we'll see. There's still so much golf for these guys to play, and obviously Spieth with the opportunity in a couple of weeks for the Grand Slam.
Yeah, that's for sure. I've forgotten about that. Thanks for reminding me. What Jay referred to is Jordan Spieth with an opportunity by winning at Belle Reve in Jay Randolph Jr.'s backyard will complete the career Grand Slam winner of all four major championships. Rory McIlroy had that opportunity earlier this year at Augusta at the Masters, unable to do so in that battle with Patrick Reed down the stretch. Somebody that played really well here, and I can assure you he's extremely popular. He won the United States Open. He won an Olympic gold medal, and he needed a birdie on Friday evening just to make the cut, and that's Justin Rose. He not only made that birdie, but then played really well over the last couple of days. Let's hear from Justin Rose.
I needed to play some great golf, and obviously, you know, making that eagle at 14, excuse me, was the little kind of boost that I needed. Although, you know, looking at the leaders, I'm pretty much expecting all of those guys to make that birdie. And when I got it to 5 under, even though I was 1 behind, I kind of said to my caddy, Fuch, I said, I feel like I'm 2 back the way the golf course is playing. So I kept urging myself to try and make birdies.
Justin Rose with a good effort, Jay. A little too little, you know, probably ran out of golf holes, but certainly was playing some great golf.
Oh, phenomenal over the weekend to go 64-69. You know, after the disappointing start, I mean, we, you know, this guy, I call him the European ATM machine, and he's always seemingly in the top 10 or even closer.
All right, the next player I want to talk about for our Grill Room listeners, and I have another question for you concerning this guy, and I'm talking about Jordan Spieth, who is going to be going for that Grand Slam when we get to St. Louis. Yesterday, to begin round three, he goes to the first tee, takes out his driver, whips it right down, knocks it on the green, makes the putt for a two, and he's off and running. So prior to Jordan Spieth teeing off today, I said to myself, I'm going to be a little curious as to his approach, because now he's tied for the lead. What's he going to do on that first hole? And he takes out an iron. Were you surprised by that, Jay?
Well, I think a lot of the change today, Bob, was obviously the wind and the factor that once that wind blows, that it changes your whole concept of how to play the golf course, and it makes you less aggressive and more defensive. But I saw a lot of guys hit driver there. I mean, that hole yesterday, as you mentioned, guys were driving the green. I think Molinari may have hit 4 iron in there. I mean, there were a lot of instances, and Justin Rose made a great point. He got in about 5 or 6 or 7, maybe even 8 groups before the leaders were coming in, and he talked about, especially on the way in, if you didn't hit the ball far enough, or if you decided to take iron or maybe 3 wood and lay it back a little, it just made those second shots a lot more difficult, Bob, and that's why we saw a lot of balls running through greens or ending up just short right in the brush. You know, it's if you're not hitting the ball on the center of the club face, it's tough with that wind.
Yeah, the wind is a great equalizer. Let's give a listen to what Jordan Spieth had to say.
You know, you put yourself in position enough times, it goes your way some, it doesn't go your way some. Obviously frustrated with hitting a couple iron shots in bunkers. Felt like I had really good control of the ball, and I didn't play the wind the right way on those 2 holes. I was trying to fight it instead of just, you know, accepting that the wind's going to win out here.
And you know, Bob, the thing about Spieth, is he kind of lost it after the 4th or 5th hole, he just wasn't able to get any real momentum back. And obviously it was hard to get momentum on a day where not many guys shot under par. I mean, that leads us to the man that was 2 under par on his final round. And as we talked about, we haven't heard from him, but the champion golfer of the year. And you know, again, the Ryder Cup strength that we talk about. How about Molinari?
Yeah, let's give a listen at Francisco Molinari. By the way, Thomas Bjorn was doing European television, and he could not stop smiling whenever the name Molinari came up, because he's going to be a stalwart on this European team when we get to France. And how about in a few years when this is going to be played in Rome? What's Molinari going to be like in Rome? He's going to be, you know, Goliath, that's for sure. Let's give a listen now to our champion golfer of the year.
Amazing to stand here with the Claret Jug. I knew I was coming in with with some good golf. My record around here was terrible, so that didn't make me too optimistic about the week. But I just tried to not think about it and focus on hitting good shots day by day. To go the weekend bogey free, it's unthinkable, to be honest. So very proud of today. Very proud of, obviously, playing with Tiger was another challenge because of the crowds and everything. But I felt really good this morning when I came here. I felt like I was ready for the challenge. Obviously conscious that it could have gone either way, but I knew I was gonna do my best today.
You know, I still sometimes think of the younger Molinari. I mean, you forget that Bob now, he's 35 years of age, and a lot of people thought the brother Eduardo was going to be the stud. But you look at, it takes some guys maybe a little longer to get it done. His best finish in a major had been a tie for second in 2017 at the PGA. His best open finish had been tied for ninth. But now he owns the Claret Jug.
Yeah, one more player that I want to talk about here in the grill room. He's become a pretty good friend of late, actually a much better friend of his caddy. I'm talking about Kevin Kisner. Dwayne Bach is his caddy, who grew up on the end of Eastern Long Island, right where I did. I played a lot of golf against his father. On Talk Sport, the radio station that I work for, when I'm in Europe, Jay, I had asked Dwayne Bach to come on the air with me, and he agreed to do that. And we talked about what caddies have to do in preparation. And I left Dwayne. I said, in appreciation, Dwayne, for coming on Talk Sport, I'm going to give you something that you can just casually mention to your player. Over the last 25 years, the average age of the winner of the Open Championship was 34 years old. I said, your player, Dwayne, is 34 years old. He got a big chuckle out of that.
You know, Bob, they mentioned a number of times during the broadcast about his love for link-style golf because of his home course in Aiken, South Carolina, that you and I and Janice got to play together, the Palmetto. He looked very comfortable. And you know, he got a couple of situations today where he was in trouble with the bunkers. And you know, if you hit it up too close to those faces, it can cost you a couple of shots. I mean, he ends up finishing tied for second at the Open Championship. Way to go, Kevin Kisner.
Yeah, good play. Okay, Tiger, certainly almost as big a story in some regards as our champion. So we'd be remiss to our Grill Room listeners if we don't get some comments from Tiger Woods, who came up short in his attempt to win his 15th major. Here's Tiger Woods.
A little ticked off at myself, for sure. I had a chance starting that back nine to do something, and I didn't do it. I thought today, starting at the day, I saw that Jason played a beautiful round early. Brooksy played another solid round today, and I thought that thought nine would be the number. You know, there's three guys at nine. I figured one of the three guys would shoot even par. I know it's tough out there, but I figured I needed to go get that number somehow. And, next thing, lo and behold, I'm tied for lead, and then I'm leading it. And, that, unfortunately, I hit a bad 3-iron off the tee there at 10, grass grabbed my shaft again and hit it left, and I made a couple mistakes around the green. and same thing at 12. Today I did everything the way that I thought I needed to do it to win the championship. This entire week I felt like I needed to keep building my way into this championship. It's one of those where, as I said early in the week, it's going to be about 10, 12 guys with a chance to win it on Sunday because we're all driving the same areas. And it kind of turned out that way. There are a bunch of guys packed, a bunch of guys with a chance to win, and I was one of them.
Well, and as you said earlier, Bob, is this one going to be known as his best chance that was missed to get to number 15? Or will it be the start of the roll to 15 and beyond? That's what we have to look forward to. I think, you know, in this era where we've got so many good players like Francesco Molinari, who gets it done on a final round with some of the biggest names in the game on the leaderboard of the historic golf course, you know, can Tiger muster enough? He didn't today. You know, we'll see moving forward. A lot to look forward to. We've talked about it. The British Open kind of signals the head toward the finish, but we got a lot ahead of us. We got the PGA Championship. We got the FedEx Cup playoffs. We got the Ryder Cup. So we got a lot to talk about in the next couple weeks.
Absolutely. Well, an Italian has never won a major championship. Now, Francesco Molinari is champion golfer of the year.
You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf, and heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, Armed Forces Radio Network, Audio Boom, iTunes, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, or you can just ask your smart speaker, Alexa, hey, Alexa, play The Grill Room Golf Show, and you'll be connected. Now, coming up, don't go anywhere. We've got more from the 147th Open Championship.
You're listening to The Grill Room. Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this little gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par 3 as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. The facility uses a unique dynamic pricing structure that golfers seem to love. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
Welcome back to The Grill Room.
Welcome back to our special coverage of the 147th Open Championship. Proud to welcome Rupert Bell to give a little bit of a European perspective to what transpired here today. The first Italian ever to win a golf major, did it in fine style, Francesco Molinari. Thomas Bjorn, first off, Rupert, the European Ryder Cup captain, has to be thrilled to death.
He sure is, and he's got every right to be pleased, because Francesco Molinari will now be an integral part of that Ryder Cup team. Well, he was always going to be in it, given his recent performances. But this is a confidence boost, and because he's often probably one of the unheralded players on the European Tour, but he's actually now letting his golf doing the talking in quite brilliant fashion, winning not only our flagship BMW PGA Championship at Wentworth, then he's backed it up with a convincing victory in the United States, and now he's come here and he had to deal with the pressure of playing alongside Tiger Woods. They did it in a Ryder Cup back in 2010 in Wales. He got a half point there, but he's come out and dealt with a resurgent Tiger and the crowd at fever pitch. Yet you wouldn't have known that that was going on inside his head and around him. He was complete calmness throughout. And then obviously getting that spectacular birdie at 18 was the icing on the Italian cake.
You know, Rupert, the mountain seemed so high for Molinari to get the job done today, as you accurately pointed out, just to become the first Italian to win a golf major. I mean, you know, that's carrying the weight of a nation on your shoulders. Now you're paired with Tiger Woods, but it wasn't just Tiger Woods. It was a resurgent Tiger Woods who actually had the lead at one point, and yet, despite all of that, and the crowds, as you accurately pointed out, absolutely going crazy with the exploits of Tiger Woods. He maintained his cool, played some great golf. I mean, he's right now, I don't think there's any doubt that there's nobody in the world that's playing any better golf than Mr. Molinari.
There isn't. And when you think that over these last 36 holes, he didn't drop a shot. In fact, it was 37 holes without a drop shot. And the last was a double bogey at the 17th on Friday. That was terrific. And okay, yesterday scoring was slightly easier on Saturday. But on Sunday, when the wind was blowing and the pressure and the expectation, that was a testament to his skill. He made some great up and downs. His putting was rock solid, which often has been his Achilles heel. It was a wonderful display of calmness in a frenetic sea of golf fans who just were fired up, you know, the usual sort of histrionics that you get with the Tiger factor. But I'm suitably impressed. A 35-year-old, inspired by the exploits of Constantino Rocca in the St. Andrews Open of 1995. Okay, he came up short. But in a non-golfing country per se, he was able, that's what inspired the Molinari family, and he has taken it to a new level. And I wonder whether he will have a legacy for Italian golf that is beyond what Constantino Rocca achieved. And bearing in mind the Ryder Cup in 2022 is in Rome, this is a wonderful way to kickstart extra interest in Italy staging the Ryder Cup.
Well, I was just going to ask you about maybe taking the pulse of golf in Italy. You know, they're certainly known for their fine paintings and magnificent art. Also known for their abundance of red wine, a subject that you know a lot about. What is the interest level, generally speaking, to the best of your knowledge, in Italy for the sport of golf?
It's low down on the radar, as Francesco Molinari said in his press conference. He was asked how it would be received. His first question is, did Ferrari win the Grand Prix? Because if they did, I have no chance. I don't know whether they did, but it is going to be not something. They're soccer obsessed, and they didn't make the World Cup. So from an Italian sporting point of view, this is a real joy. But in terms of where golf is within normal Italian way of life, it is by no means a popular sport. But things like this can only help grow a game. And as he also stressed, I hope kids were watching it, because they feel inspired to pick up a club and go and hit one. And maybe in 20 years' time, they too have a chance to win the Claret Jug.
Let me ask you, and we're speaking with Rupert Bell, special guest here on the Grill Room. In your opinion, is this the, you know, high water mark for Molinari, and you know, anything after this, you know, will be tough to duplicate, obviously. But will he go on will this be when his career is done? Will he have won only one major? Is the question I'm trying to ask.
I think you may have a point there, because this is such a pinnacle. It's been a long road, and sometimes when you get to that ultimate moment. And he looked almost disbelieving at times that he'd actually had won the Claret Jug. He was holding the Claret Jug. So he's got to take stock and regroup, because this is a huge moment. But when he goes to the USPGA, he will be able to walk through those clubhouse doors as a major champion. That will give him not only an extra spring in his step, but it will also make other players aware that this guy, who may not be the flashiest, may not be the most show-busy of players, yet here he is, a major champion. I'm not going to say never, but I would be surprised if he won another major championship. But on the form he's in at the moment, if he turns up in August at the USPGA, there's no reason why he can't continue. But it's going to be, there's air's got to come out of the balloon sometime.
All right, before we let you go, want your analysis of the play first of Rory McIlroy.
Indifferent at times, spectacular, and then there was the horrible miss putts. Without question, it was one that got away from him. He missed probably four or five relatively short putts. His play around the green was a little inconsistent. But clearly, when he got that eagle on 14 in the final round, he was energized. And if he can take that energy forward and that kind of passion and the way he was playing over those final few holes when he found himself in contention, then the future looks bright. But up until then, it was a frustrating display to watch.
You have to take a lot of pride in the performance of Justin Rose.
That's extraordinary, because we were watching on Friday thinking, will he make the cut? Yet, on Friday, he made his second successive birdie on 18 to scrape through at three over. He then comes in with a course record, or course open record equaling 64. And then once again, he had an eagle at the 14th with a spectacular second shot to, I think, 2 feet, even maybe less. Then another, his fourth straight birdie at 18. I think he got over the line on Friday and he freewheeled through the rest of the championship. And for him to have his best ever finish 20 years after he finished at Birkdale as a fresh-faced amateur of 17, he's produced his best finish in the Open Championship, a tied for second along with Rory McIlroy, Kevin Kisner and Xander Schauffele. So for Rose, this weekend turned out far better than he expected, because I think at one stage he thought he'd be back on a beach in Bahamas.
As we conclude our coverage of the 147th Open Championship, we leave you with the winning call, as heard by TalkSport listeners around the world, Rupert Bell calling the winning putt.
What a moment for Francesco Molinari as he lines up a birdie putt on the 18th. Packed galleries all around. The Italian at 7-under could finish at 8-under. The ball's on its way. He's played impeccably, and he's held it. What a moment for Francesco Molinari. Is that the winning putt? Could he become the first Italian to win the Open Championship? He's been impeccable today with a 2-under par round of 69 and no bogeys in that round as well. Playing alongside Tiger Woods, he's been the form golfer this year, and now he could just cement it by lifting the claret jug.
You're listening to The Grill Room. Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's a couple of par threes you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. The facility uses a unique dynamic pricing structure that golfers seem to love. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
Welcome back to The Grill Room.
Welcome back to our coverage of the 147th Open Championship. And now let's go into the media center and hear what our champion golfer of the year has to say to the press.
So I'd like to welcome the champion golfer of the year, Francesco Molinari, to the interview room with a score of 8 under par, 276, our champion for the year. Francesco, firstly, congratulations. That was a tremendous performance. Can you sum up how you're feeling right now?
Just disbelief, to be honest. It's amazing to stand here with the claret jug. I knew I was coming in with some good golf. My record around here was terrible, so that didn't make me too optimistic about the week. But I just tried to not think about it and focus on hitting good shots day by day. To go the weekend bogey-free, it's unthinkable, to be honest. So very proud of today, very proud of, obviously, playing with Tiger was another challenge because of the crowds and everything. But I felt really good this morning when I came here. I felt like I was ready for the challenge. Obviously conscious that it could have gone either way, but I knew I was gonna do my best today.
Well, great. We'll take questions from the floor. If you can raise a hand, we'll get a microphone to you. We'll start here at the front.
Complimenti, Francesco. Tu sei il regio per molti feste oggi in Italia. I have a question. When you were in that room, you buried your head in your face, and it looked like maybe you wept. What were you thinking?
I couldn't watch Xander play the last two holes, to be honest. So that's why I went to the putting green, because I probably would have felt sick watching on TV. And so big credits to my wife that watches me all the time. I don't know how she does it. I couldn't do it. It's just disbelief. Like I said, it's, you know, to look at the names on that Claret Jug, obviously, what can you say? It's the best golfers in history, and to be on there, it's incredible, you know, from someone like me coming from Italy, not really a major golfing country. It's been an incredible journey.
Next question, Tyrone in the middle, number three there.
Francesco, congratulations. You mentioned coming from Italy, a country that's maybe golf's not seen as the main sport there, but you're the first Italian to win one of golf's majors. How significant a moment do you think it is? Not just obviously for you, but for Italian sport as a whole?
It depends. Ferrari won today, or... If they won, they'll probably get the headlines. But no, obviously it'll be massive news. It was big news, you know, the last run of form already was big news in Italy. Obviously to achieve something like this, it's on another level. So hopefully there were a lot of young kids watching on TV today, like I was watching Costantino in 95, coming so close. And hopefully they will get as inspired as I was at the time watching him fight for the Claret Jug.
Next question, Mark on the left there, please.
Francesco, can you expand a little bit on the difficulty of playing in the group with Tiger? And, you know, was there anything you did to kind of prepare yourself for that? And just as a second question, you're up and down on 13. Was that maybe the key moment for you as you kept it going?
12 and 13 were two really big par putts. Obviously, if you, you know, you would have still probably be doable even dropping shots there, but it would have made it a lot harder. So it was a big moment to hold the putt, those putts, and then to flush the drive on 14 on the fairway that turns the hole into a par four, really. So I think that was one of the key moments. Tiger himself was great today, you know, really, really good sportsmanship with me. Obviously, there's a lot more people if you're grouped with him than if I'm playing with the, I can't really say names, but some of the other guys. So, you know, I've done it before. I played with him before in Ryder Cups and in big occasions, so I knew what was coming, and I was ready for it.
Well, now you're up to date on what's going on around the world of golf. That's it for this week. You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf.
So on behalf of our executive producer, Janice Self, Jay Randolph Jr., and myself, Bob Bupka, a big thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGRGolf. Of course, you can like us and follow us on Facebook and on Instagram at The Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in The Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.